are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes or no.
Wow, keep clapping for the Greater Love Gospel Choir. What beautiful, beautiful voices. Well, welcome to the best place to be on a Sunday, amen. We have a powerful testimony awaiting you. Please welcome Pastor Richard.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm not feeling your clapping. You can do better for the Lord. It's testimony time. Amen. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome our sister Doris to come and give us a very, very powerful testimony this morning. Amen. Please. Wow. Please, I need another mic.
Hallelujah. 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 Change it for me. Looks it gives in and out. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God.
Tell us what the Lord has done for you.
Praise God, church.
Amen.
I hope all of us are following the healing crusade from the bishop.
Wow.
It's very, very powerful. I can tell you it's powerful. Recently, I've been following it.
The healing Jesus crusade campaign.
It's at Sefi
in Ghana.
I've been following and I've been
Pastor just came from there. Lady Pastor is actually there. We've seen him in
Pastor.
The video.
I've been seeing our daddy there. I saw him. I said, there he is.
Wow.
But now this night.
Wow.
As I was sleeping, you know very well, around 3 a.m. is ungodly timing. It's really ungodly timing. Much as I've prayed, the devil tried me. I was just lying down. I decided to lie down late after prayer. I said, I lie down. Then all of a sudden, my right leg went into very severe pain.
Wow.
I didn't want to wake up my children. I said, I will fight this devil. So I stood up and I started to pray. I bind the spirit of the devil. I took my anointing, I put on, still it didn't go. It was getting worse. I said, no, devil, you're not going to try me, and I'm not going to go to the hospital. Then I heard the voice telling me, put on your TV on. Bishop is on. Bishop is on. So I said, let me just put it on. Immediately I switched on. He was praying for the sick ones. He was praying to believe. I said, I believe it. I started screaming, yes, I believe. And I was holding my leg. And I could still hear that you need the reinforcement. I said, devil, you're defeated. Devil, you're defeated. And it reached a part, he said, devil, go, go, go. And I kept on saying the same thing. All of a sudden, I felt something very... I said, if it's really sickness, why would I feel like this? I felt something heavy coming from my leg. Very heavy. Very heavy. I said, Lord, I believe now I'm healed. And he said, you know that you are healed. I said, I know. You know, I'm pointing at him. And then he said, those who are watching, those who are watching also believe. I said, I'm here.
You will be the next who have such a testimony in Jesus' name.
Let me tell you. I felt healed. That pain went immediately.
Immediately. It was gone.
Immediately.
Move your leg. You can move your leg. Move your leg. Let us see. Move it. Why are you sitting down like this for such a powerful testimony? Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a miracle.
I can move.
Wow.
I can move because it was so stiff like this.
My God.
And I said, I'm going to write. Then before I slept, I text Pastor. I text Pastor Lindsay. I said, you know something? I've been healed. Didn't I text you? Yeah, I texted him and I said, I'm healed. And for real, I am healed.
Amen.
Please, let's follow
the... Why don't you celebrate Jesus? The miracle is not restricted to the area. It can fly through the TV, through the internet, wherever. You should be listening to Bishop on the podcast, on the YouTube. Follow. God has no distance. God doesn't need a visa to enter into America to heal you. I see you being healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Sister Cheryl.
Amen. Keep clapping for Sister Doris. Amen. Yes, we have a powerful ministration awaiting you. Please welcome Sister Victoria.
Remix! Brother David, please welcome Brother David!
For the Lord, I have to build a church for the Lord. We are going all out for the Lord. He died on the cross for the world, for you and I to be saved. The trumpet will blow anytime. He then your house will be saved.
Hallelujah. One, two.
Around you, serving in your house. Lord, doing your will. Sing it. I bless the day I found you, and I want to stay around you, serving in your house, Lord, doing your will.
Keep clapping for Brother David! Wow! Amen. Serving in your house and doing your will. Amen. Now it's time for the best part of the service. Amen. Wow. Are you guys ready for a prophetic encounter service? Our daddy is back. Amen. When we heard that he was going for the ministry, we were excited. Amen. But now that he's back, we're a little selfish. We were excited for him, but now we're excited for ourselves. Please be on your feet and welcome our prophet, our daddy, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true.
Those who know
your name, put their trust in you.
There is no other
faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
Oh, how I love
the name of Jesus. No other name is small to me.
Oh, how I love
the name of Jesus.
Oh, how I love
his name so sweet.
Oh, how I love
the name of Jesus. No other name is small to me.
Put your hands together for Jesus and give him a loud shout. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be in the house of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge your presence, thanking you for your mercies and for your graces that have kept us all this while. Thank you that you make it possible for us to live and you give us what it takes to sustain us. Your word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Holy Spirit, do a new work in us, in our lives, in our ministries. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, I bring you greetings from Sefie Wiosu, where we had the Healing Jesus campaign. That's where. It's a place. You shall be there. From Healing Jesus campaign, you know, our church is blessed with evangelistic-minded leadership that is all about souls. And so it was such a blessing being there. And I bring you greetings. Lady Pastor is there. She's going to be coming the weekend by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So the coming weekend will be a blessing. We both, by the grace of God, will be here. Now, I just want to announce to the those of us who graduated, you know, schools just went on summer vacation. I think the last day was yesterday, or Friday. And therefore, you know, people have graduated, but we don't take it for granted in our church. Now, everybody that started has actually graduated. Wow. Amen. By grace of God. Wow. Call him. Wow. Has actually graduated. And we want to give God the glory. Amen. Now, we also want to celebrate it. Anything that makes an impact, you also want to celebrate that thing. Yes. And last year, we did that. We gave them gifts. And I, you know, I want you to actually, let's celebrate these young people by giving them gifts. Amen. Giving them gifts. I think there are four people that graduated this year. Is it four or five? Benson, Victor, Brianna, Brendan. Yeah, three B's and a V. Yeah. Lindsay graduated as well. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. So they're five. Prudential also graduated. Wow, it's actually six. Which one? Leah. I don't even see her. Yes. So Leah. No, she hasn't finished. Wow. Put your hands together. So I think that it's an important. Now, many of the graduates, they come on during the First Love service in the afternoon, but I think I want to celebrate them. So we're going to invite them to this service and celebrate them and give them. Please bring gifts to them. Bring, young people don't, if you're not sure, just give them money. They'll find something to do with it. Amen. Last year, I was very impressed. One of our church members put $25 in. There were four people. Oh, in gift cards and give to each of them. I mean, whatever you want to give. You want to buy a card. You want to buy flowers. Whatever it is. Just let's celebrate them. Gift cards are, yeah, it will be. Buy a car for them. That's not bad, too. Amen. Now, I think it's an important thing because I'm saying that because, I mean, don't take it for granted that 100% of them graduated. Wow. Amen. They didn't drop out of school. They didn't get into any trouble. They didn't get in trouble with the authorities. They didn't go into gangster activity and all these things. And we want to celebrate them. And we're going to invite the 10-year-olds and the little ones to come and to see what is happening so that they will be inspired to do the same. Yeah, we do that. That's the whole reason. You see, we do that to inspire those who are coming. Bible says, let him that has gone to war and has taken off his armor, let him be the one who speaks, not he who is coming. Right. You see, so already these kids, little ones, have taken them to mentorship, seen them as mentors. And I want us to really make an impact on them and put it on their mind that there is something to look up to. And so it's a blessing. I really appreciate what they have done. They have honored us, and we have to honor them. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says that a foolish son is a calamity of his father. You know, if as we're speaking, some instead of graduating, they were found in jail. The story will be different. The narrative will be different. God forbid. And so I rejoice. Bible says, mourn with them that do mourn and rejoice with them that do rejoice. Black people like mourning. Yes, like you and I. When we're very quick to put on our clothes and go and mourn, but when good things happen, we don't like to celebrate with people. So let's celebrate with them. And God will be a blessing. I'm sure they will have some. So that's next Sunday. It's actually graduation Sunday. Clap for the Lord again. Now, don't just come. It's a full celebration. So let the families that are involved bring your family members. It's also a soul-winning Sunday. It's a form of soul-winning Sunday. Yeah, we like to use it for souls. So invite the friends, the parents that are amongst you that have your children who have graduated. Please bring them along and let them invite their friends to come that they are being celebrated and will actually give them their awards and welcome them and celebrate them properly. You see, we'll have narratives about them, but old time, last year it was beautiful. Baby pictures, how they've graduated from childhood, puberty, and all that. We'll see it all here. And it was a beautiful thing to see that it's a progression. It's the beginning of a landmark. And I believe that there will be great, 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 great citizens in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But we need to push them. Bible says, as the furnace to gold and the refining pot to silver, so is a man to his praise. That means when somebody does something good and you praise him, you celebrate him, they do better. People don't like giving compliments and celebrating. One of the things that does is makes God, makes the people do well. See, that people are watching and actually appreciating the effort we're making. And so I think it's an important thing to do. So please, next week is graduation Sunday. And please, nobody should be left behind. Come and let's celebrate them. And let's bring their friends, loved ones, and our friends and loved ones to come and see what the Lord is doing in our children. Amen. Amen. So, I want to share with you something important. You know, over the last few weeks, we have been sharing about the Good Samaritan and its implication in respect of the church. Now, you'll realize that we explained that, you know, when you bring it up, you know, Luke chapter 10 from verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. In fact, let's go to verse 28. Verse 27, verse 26. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Then, verse 26, and Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Verse 27, and Jesus answered, the guy answering said, oh, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. This is where it is. Then, verse 28, and Jesus said to him, you have answered right. Go do this, and you shall live. Then, the guy asked a very important question. Says, but he, the guy, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And that's when Jesus showed that parable of the Good Samaritan who saw somebody who was beaten half dead. And then the Good Samaritan, the pastors came and passed. The church members came and passed. They didn't mind. They looked away. I don't want any trouble. We talk about there are people who are people abusers, people ignore us, and then people avoid us, people love, people help us. The Good Samaritan. So the Good Samaritan took the guy on his donkey and took him to the inn. And gave him to the innkeeper. And said, take care of him. Whatever else that is required to take care of, I will pay you all. Anything you need. So we explained that. And then Jesus Christ asked the final question. And that question was, the final question, the last verse was, he asked the guy, which of these do you think is a good neighbor, is a neighbor? And then the guy said, the Samaritan, the one who took him, said, yes, go and do likewise. Put your hands together for Jesus. So a good neighbor is somebody who is there. You see, it's who is there. Bible says a neighbor who is close is far better than a brother who is far away. So a neighbor will help you. The Bible says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes if you find the right church, you know, you found a family. You found a family. And I want us to realize that our church is that kind of thing. That's why we are even celebrating. None of my children graduated. At least, not this year. But you see, because it's a family, I see it as a family. Yeah. Every graduation that I have been around, I've gone there. I've actually been there. And yesterday, I went rushed back so that I can go for, at least for one of them. Because the ones the week before, I had traveled. You see. So it's an important thing. Tell somebody, you are my brother, you are my sister. Yeah. So I really want us to understand that fact. Now listen carefully. This is spiritual brotherhood or sisterhood. And it's an important thing that God, if you look in Psalm 68 and verse number 6, the Bible says the Lord sets the solitary or the lonely into families. Eh? And he brings them, those who are bound with chains. They come with issues. But he brings them out of them, of the issues. But those who are rebellious, they dwell in dry land. That means that if you are somebody who's not all me, I'm just on the surface, on the periphery. Church is not done with you being in the periphery. You'll be in bondage. The devil will attack you. If you like, watch Animal Planet. When the lions are coming to catch the sheep, they never are able to catch the ones that are in the flock proper. They are the ones who are at the outskirts, straying. They're always sitting near the door. They're always dragging behind. They are not involved in anything. They don't come for any meeting. They don't join any ministry. They don't come for prayer meetings. They don't do anything. The Bible says it's called the rebellious. They dwell in dry land. They don't benefit from the protection. You see, when God is bringing people out of bondage and chains, these are actually rebelling. The rebellious. They are in dry land. Nothing. They enjoy nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God is looking for people that will really become family to his family. Amen. Amen. So that he can take away the bondage and the chains. For example, as Sister Doris was discussing that she's gotten into the church to an extent where even if Bishop is preaching somewhere else, that's my family, that's my pastor, that's my prophet. And I'm having difficulty, I am connecting in, and there was her deliverance. That shall be your story in Jesus' name. That's the house of God. It belongs to those who are neighborly enough to be connected in such a deep way that I may not, the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. But that Samaritan was a good enough neighbor, connected deeply enough to see the trouble of the brother and help. That's my family. That's my family. Yeah. Now, some of us, who didn't come to church, whose seat is empty, you may not even know. What kind of a family member are you? That your brother is lost, you don't know. For 3 days, he has not come home and you don't know. That's wrong. Amen. Yeah. So, what Jesus was saying was that, remember that I, Jesus, am the one who set everybody in the family. You cannot disconnect from family and change your name. It's called rebellion. God says rebellious will dwell in dry land. Now, especially in Memphis, people just jump from church to church to church. They never grow. They never get blessed. They never get blessed. It's just like somebody who decides, I'll never marry. I'll move from girl to girl to girl to girl. They never grow up. They're always boys. They never become men. And young ladies, if you find a boy, don't marry them. Yeah. Marriage is for men who can commit, who can be dedicated. The same way spirituality is for men, not boys of God, men of God, women of God, mature people. Let's see some maturity in Christianity. Clap for the Lord Jesus. This kind of baby that is moving to and fro like the devil, it's not a good thing. So today I'm going to tell you somebody who was fleeing and the Lord just accosted him and stabilized him. Do you want to know who that person is? Yes. Do you really want to know? Yes. It could be you. Say, God forbid. Well, I am going to tell you how your life will be turned around. There's this guy. Do you know the church of God is called the Israel of God? That's right. The church of God is called the Israel of God. Now, the Israel of God was behaving, hopping from place to place, no commitment to God, to the house of God, and was near unto being cursed. Issues, vagabond, dwelling in dry places, no certain place. Israel, that we hear, that we so much love, did not start that way. He became Israel only when his mind and his attitude changed. Do you know who Israel was? Jacob. Jacob. Jacob was the one God had been waiting to bless with the inheritance of Abraham, the inheritance of Isaac, and bless with his house. But he was not ready until he became dedicated to the house of God. That was when he changed. That's where we all get this blessing from, the blessing of Israel. The Israel of God is the church of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Today I'm going to go with you so that you understand when what the devil is doing when he sets you away at the periphery of the church. There are many people in church who are not in Christ. There are many people, you'll be surprised that when the Lord is taking away the bonds and the chains, they will be seen as rebellious. They will be dwelling in. When the rapture takes place, you'll be surprised. The rapture is like, if you like, a selective medium that will grasp the people who are improper. The people outside will never be taken. They will dwell in dry land. I'm telling you, the rapture, when Jesus comes for his own, it's not for people who are outside. Bible says outside are the dogs. There should be no spiritual dogs here in Jesus' name. The day, God bless, the day I found you. I thought you'd sing. Can somebody come and play it? Brother, help me. Yeah.
I want to stay around you.
I want to stay around the Lord.
Serving in your house, Lord. Doing your will.
Doing your will. Sing that line again.
I bless
the day I found you, Lord.
I want to stay around you, Lord. Serving in your house.
I like it.
Doing your way.
Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Each time I meditate.
When you think deeply about it.
Upon your kindness.
Upon what God has done. Is it somebody you should be running away from? Upon all that God has done for you.
I bless
the day I found
you, Jesus. I want to
stay around you. Serving your house, Lord. Doing your will. Sing it again, brother.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. Serving in your house, Lord. Doing his will.
Brother, God bless you.
I receive it.
Amen. The day I found Christ, that was the day that I found my family. That was the day that I found my heaven. I found my Christ. I found my church. I found my life story. I will always stay around you. I'll stay around you, Jesus, all the time. And it's been a blessed life. This to and fro will not help anybody. Today you are reading the Bible. The next day you are reading pornography. That was Jacob. But don't worry. Last week I told you that it's okay to be asleep, but you can't sleep forever. That's death. You have to wake up. So I'm coming to the depth of the story. Jacob was all along playing the buffoonery. But God had a blessing for him. Your blessing will never go past you in Jesus' name. On the other hand, Esau, took it for granted and he was not raptured. He was inside the birthright. He had a right. Some of us have the right of membership in the church, but not the blessing of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Birthright does not mean anything. Your registration. I am in Lighthouse. I am in First Love. I am in Kodesh Family Church. Means nothing. Let's be in Christ. Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm telling you honestly. Never be left behind. Never be left behind. Never be outside. Never be in the periphery. Get in. Get involved. Get deep. Such that when they look at you, I know you. You can never be an outsider. The day is coming where the Esau's, where the Abraham will now have to give the blessing to the people that deserve it. Where the Isaac will have to. It will take a spiritual inheritance, not just the seeing of the eye. God actually caused Isaac's eye to be blinded so that the heart will speak. Because Isaac, as a human being, was only going to select Esau. Because that's the firstborn. It's not about who came to the church first. It's not about how long you've been in the church. It's how deep. Is it the church in your heart? Is Christ in your heart? Are you in the Lord? Or are you just in the church? That was Jacob. God saw the heart and said that, this guy, I need to help him. So, ladies and gentlemen, Genesis chapter 28. He became Israel. We all know that Jacob was a trickster, a supplanter, a thief. We all know that this guy was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell amongst thieves. Your past does not matter. If a man be in Christ, when you enter Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you actually enter Christ, if you get in deep, you are a new creature. God changes everything. It doesn't matter you are second born, you are first born. He just gets you in. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Genesis chapter 28 from verse number 10. I'm reading this story. The origin of the church and God's plan for you and how you should be. And Jacob went out. This guy had gone to steal a birthright, a blessing. And his brother was chasing him to kill him. He ran. Bible says Jacob ran out from Beersheba where he was living. Went towards Haran, where his uncle was living, to seek shelter. I don't know what you're running from that you came to church. I don't know what demons are following you, but it's over for them in Jesus' name. I don't know what curse that you brought here. I don't know what disease, what your life's history and your family history is, but God is about to change everything. He was running from Beersheba to Haran. And he alighted upon a certain place. Somebody say a certain place. And there he tarried there that night. New King James will probably be easier to read. Because the sun was set. And he took the stone that was in that place and put it at his head. Stones. And lay down in that place to sleep. How terrible can it be? So impoverished. So lonely, so helpless, so without friends that even he couldn't rent a hotel. And he lay in the bush on a stone as pillow. You say your situation is terrible. Look at Jacob. He lay down on the stone to sleep. Tired, running. Some of us are tired. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of sickness. Sick and tired of poor finances. Sick and tired of frustrations in relationships, in our marriages, in our children, in our parents, in our academic work. I don't know whether you've been frustrated by a subject before, but I have. You try your best. You've written the ACT 3 times. It's like you're still a teen. Everything is in the teens. They give up, say, look, I will stay here. It's stone, but I'll lie on it. But then look at what happened. While in that situation, then he dreamed, God is going to give you a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth. And its top reached to heaven. God will connect you to heaven. Even though you are in that bad situation of a stone that you're lying on. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. One day I cried tears. Lonely. Frustrated. Everybody had rejected me. No money. And as I cried tears, that was the first time I heard the voice of God. In your distress, he will find you, Jesus' name. In your distress, you are still connected to heaven. God will give you a dream. God will give you a vision. And the Bible says that angels were moving up and down in that poor situation. And behold, the Lord stood above that ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give it to you and your descendants. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I'll give it to you and your family. Keep going. And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God is not about to just bless you, but to bless you with others because of your position of loyalty to God and to his church. Then he goes on, verse 15. Behold, I am with you. Tell somebody, God is with you. And I will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you about. Keep going, sister. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Tell somebody, I'm awake now. And said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not even know it. Surely the Lord is with me, is in this place, and I did not even know it. Then verse 17, and he was afraid and said, that word he reverenced, he feared, and he said, how awesome is this place? Somebody said, this place is awesome. How awesome is this place? And he says, what was he describing as awesome? He said, this is no other place other than the house of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You may not realize, but everything I'm describing so far is the description of what happens in the house of God. That God revealed to sinful Abraham, who he converted to righteous Israel. When God actually sees your sin that you brought to him and you connect to him in your frustration, in your, you're running away from something. In your distress, in your pain, in your dejection and rejection, your dream comes and you see these arrangements. You wake up. How awesome is this place? This is no other place than the house of God. God is describing the elements of the house of God. And it is the gate of heaven. Today I see you in the gate of heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you ever doubted the connectivity of the church to heaven, this is it. It's the house of God. And it's a connection to heaven. Then look at this, verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Then he called on the name, he called the name of that place Bethel or Bethel. But the name of the city had previously been Luz. That word Bethel is the word house of God. Beth El. El Shaddai. El is God. Beth in the Hebrew language is the word house. House of God. El Shaddai. Elohim. That's God's name. El. He said, this place is now, I am not just going to acknowledge that it's a house of God. There's no other place than the house of God. It's Bethel. I'm changing the name. I'm changing the way I see the place. You know, when you change somebody's name, you've changed the person's life. You've changed the identity. When you get married and you are now called Mrs. Adam, you are no longer Eve. Your identity is changed. Yeah. Your ownership is changed. Your relationships are changed. Your overseership is changed. The person who takes care of you. Parents give names to children as a sign that I own, and this is now my child. And when any identity goes, when any problem is my problem, any privilege is my privilege, I am responsible, I am going to take charge, I'm going to take care of, the identity is changed forever. You want to trace the source of this child, trace it to me. He bears my name, and I'll take care of him. Yeah. That place was changed. If you want any identity, connect it to heaven. This is the house of, from now, it's no longer Luz, it's the house of God. The Bible says in verse 20, and Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, this life that I'm living, and give me bread to eat every day, clothing to put on every day, clothing should be like, your car is like clothing now. Yeah. Everything that you don't eat is part of your clothing. Clap for the light. A house is a clothing. Yeah. Because when I'm described, say, that lady in red, I should also be able, your zip code or your address should be like that lady living in that address. It's part of your clothing. House should be like a dress to you. Your car is identified to registered in your name. When God says, you give me clothing, he's talking about all these things, accessories. Clothing is not part of you. It's just things that cover you. That gives you warmth. That gives you protection. That gives you a certain identity around you. Anything that is not part of you is like clothes. God will give you clothes to wear. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And food to eat. Said, if God will do these things, then, verse 21, so that I'll come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Go on. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, O God, I will surely give a tenth to you. That's a tithe. That's a tithe. It started with Jacob. That's how he got blessed. Many people speak anyhow about the tithe. Look at how this guy said, when you change, you see that it's an exchange. Tithe is a vow that causes God to give you food to eat and clothes to wear all the time. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this story that you have here, which is described in the Old Testament, is the church that was described before Christ came. The house of God. The question I want to ask you is, why do you come to church? What's your understanding of church? There are many people that walk into church with no understanding. We just come because others are going. Without your understanding, you will not get any benefits. Ignorance is bliss, but it's no excuse. Children often don't understand why they go to school. They just go. And sometimes you pay somebody's fees to go to school and they will not go. I know friends who, when they bring their fees, they take us, the students, and we go and spend it together in a restaurant, day and night, drinking bar, beer bar. I'm telling you, my friends, and we'll drink it with them. Eat their fees with them. And we'll go back to school and they stay out there. Rich people's children. They never amounted to anything. Never. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that they did not understand why they were in school. But some of us did, and it has made a difference in our lives. Today, those rich people's children, I came from a poor home. Today, we give them tips because they didn't understand. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Many church folk don't understand church. They play church. They do not understand. Today, I want you to understand why you are here. Why are you here? Why are you? Ask somebody, why are you here? Why did you come to church? Tell the person, why did you come to church? Tell the person, can you explain church to me? Chances are that they can't. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you how I understood. I got to understand this arrangement where Jacob slept and then had this dream. And then the ladder was connected from where he was sleeping to heaven. Angels were coming up and down, and God was standing on the top and speaking to him. And he got up and said, wow, this arrangement is nothing else. It's an awesome blessing, nothing else but the house of God. From today, this place is changed from Luz to Bethel. And he put oil on it. And then he said all these things about the tithe. Do you know how I discovered this? I was preaching on tithe. Just in Elvis Presley, when our church was there. When the Lord spoke to me, I will never forget. I was preaching on tithe, and the topic was, the pioneers of tithing. It's in our bishop's book. Why tithing Christians become rich and why non-tithing Christians can become poor. Yeah. And I preached about the pioneers of the tithing, and Jacob was one of them. When I read the story, my eyes opened to a dream God gave me when I was in school. Ladies and gentlemen, what was this dream? When I was in school, my family, there was no male that succeeded in life. All the ladies did well, but if you're a male, you either will not go to school. Or if you try to go to school and you try, at least if you go to school, just hard to high school. If you try to go to college, you will die. Or you will travel, you will never come back. Or you will become a drunk or go to jail. Something bad will happen. Or you go crazy and take off your clothes and walk in the streets. That's my family. That's my family. So my parents were afraid. So they told me all these things, and they sure pointed to the evidences that in my house, nobody does well. There are curses that have been accumulated sometimes by family. Bible says the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have been set on edge. It's not everything that's happening to you that's your fault. Yeah. Some of the curses, ancestral curses, they must be broken. The church is the best place to break such curses. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I was afraid. I shook like a leaf every time of my high school days because I knew I was about to die. Oh, yeah. I could feel it. There was nobody who was grown past me who had not encountered these problems. The one immediately ahead of me was a thief, signed my father's check, was sent to jail. A cousin came to live. Signed my father's church. We had to send him to jail. Yeah. He was a thief like that. Nice boy. But he was under the curse. And I would go to my family house and I used to see the old ladies and somebody told me these are the witches who are handing that curse. So I was even afraid to go. I was full of fear. Yet I was doing well in school and all roads pointed to college. And so my parents said, this guy is about to die. Because anybody that has crossed to college has died. They fed me with that information so strongly that I could not, I even wanted to fail so that I don't die. No. So, when finally, no matter how I tried, I didn't fail. It was time to go to college. Then my parents said, you know what? If we don't do something about you to break this curse, you will die. We'll come, we'll send you to school and they'll bring your body, your remains. Yeah, they told me. So my mother took me to a juju man, or what is it called? Witch doctor. Yeah, witch doctor. They were not Christians. They were not born again. All they knew to protect me was to go to black power, black magic, witch doctor. So I said I would not go. I told them I would not go. They say you will go. Say I will not go. They say you will go. I said I will not go. They say you will go. Then eventually they threaten, if you do not go, we are not giving you any money to pass you here. Because when you give you money, we are paying for your grave. So we will not. That shook me. So I said I will go. Because I also didn't want to die. Ladies and gentlemen, I resisted it to the last day. Because I was qualified. I had qualified to go to medical school. But they were afraid because of the curse. So they took me. Finally, the week before I would go to school, finally I gave in and they took me to the witch doctor. We went. When I went, what I saw, the place that they say you're going for deliverance, they need deliverance themselves. Dead. The people were sick there. I could feel demonic presence in that place. I hated it with my whole being. But my mother shoved me in. When we went and they asked, where's the witch doctor? Do you want to know what we found? They said they had traveled. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The witch doctor was not there. Was not there. Something inside of me hated it. So ladies and gentlemen, and school had reopened, we needed to register. So they said they're going to send me to register and I'll come back. They sent me to go and register. I didn't come back. Then I started having dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, night after night, dwarfs will follow me. They told me specifically, you are going to die. I had sleepless nights, nightmares. I wake up wet with, soaked with sweat because I was being chased to kill me. Somehow I'll mention Jesus and I'll become weak and limp. I couldn't even open my mouth to say Jesus. I had a form of godliness, but I was not in church. Once in a while I'll go, once in a while I'm out. A form of peripheral church. I was not inside. I was still solitary. Meanwhile, God said he puts a solitary into families to take away their bonds and their what? Chains. But if I'm rebellious, then I'll stay on dry ground. I was on dry ground and I was suffering. My bonds and chains were still on. Were in place. Strongly in place. Nothing was working. Nightmare after nightmare. At a point, I was afraid every time to sleep. I suffered. Then, in the latter part of my freshman year or second year, I saw a church meeting in a canteen and a white man was preaching. As far as I was concerned, it was a white man. Then I went inside, somebody, and then he said, give your life to Jesus. The white man was Bishop Dag. Our bishop. He was just he had finished medical school, I think. He was a doctor. And I was a medical student. He was preaching. And I went. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Immediately, they collected me into the drama ministry. I got involved. I went for meetings. Wednesday meetings, prayer meetings, rehearsals. I even acted a play, The Rich Fool. I was called Richie Rich. Actually, when I went to Healing Jesus, I saw my play wife. The one who was my wife, rich fool. Say, you remember you were my wife? Yeah. We were in the same hotel. We remembered. Now, as I got deeply involved, the dreams reduced. Wow. Reduced in intensity. Yeah. Reduced in frequency. Yeah. Now, I was fully bona fide. I was even a shepherd. Then, the dream came back with full vigor one day. This time, the dream... I used to have dwarfs of a few numbers, but this time it was a multitude of dwarfs. Different colors, red, yellow, black, gray, wearing hats, carrying bow and arrow, knives. I'm telling you, full attack, full army. And they were all singing, today is your last day. And I knew I was dead. I tell you, can sense death. Have you been involved in an accident before that you rolled over? You knew you were about to die. I've been there. You sense death coming. I've been in an accident like that. That somersaulted. And I just held it and closed my eye and said, Lord, near am I got to thee. It felt like that. And as they were coming, I started running. Started running. And they were chasing me and singing. Running. I ran so hard. And at a point, I became weak and tired. And they were closing in on me. At a point, I was just about to give in. Then I saw my foot touch something higher. When I opened my eyes in the dream, it was a ladder. It was a ladder that my foot was on. Immediately my foot touched a ladder. Energy came into me. Strength came into me. And then like a machine had been put, I ran fast up the ladder. By the time I realized, angels were around. And I ran fast up the ladder, very tall. When I got to the top, there was a man there in white clothing, white beard, white hair everywhere. His arms big, open. And I ran. The man opened the arms and get up. And then I just got this. He hugged me like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I felt so comforted. I felt so strengthened. It was like a pillow. Have you hugged Brother Michael before? It was like that. But Michael, when you hug him, it's like you've hugged a pillow. Very comforting. Brother Michael, get up. If you want to hug God, feel the hug of God, hug Brother Michael. Look. Bishop Eddie still asks, is Brother Michael there? I like his hugs. Ladies and gentlemen, as I hugged him, I felt the pillow feel, the comfort. Get up, Jesus. On the last day, Jesus stood. And then he either whispered into my ears or I felt inside of me that look back. He told me, look back. Ladies and gentlemen, as he was, I was looking back. No, I held on. It was like he was leaving me to look back. I said, no. Then I held on and I looked back. Do you know what I saw as he helped me? Do you know? Do you want to know?
We want to know.
Next week. Rise to your feet. Do you want to know? You really want to know? 5 minutes. Our time is up. You sure? Don't tell me I wasted time. Okay. So I looked back. When I looked back, the multitude of dwarfs had all become smoke. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Smoke of different colors, black, blue, yellow, red, all of them were burning into smoke. 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 I will never forget that dream. Never, 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 ever forget that dream. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last time I had a nightmare in my life. From that day, I've enjoyed my sleep. From that day, I enjoyed my sleep. So I had forgotten about this dream until I was preaching about tithe. And I came about the pioneers of the tithe. And I read the story. I said, what? My dream is in the Bible. The ladder is in the Bible. The man was at the top. Angels were coming and going. And I ran up. Then the Spirit of the Lord told me, the day your foot touched the ladder, the day you entered the church fully, your foot touched the ladder. New machine was given into you. New strength called the Holy Spirit. God's protection. God's power. God's covering. When you entered deeply, that transformation was made. And because of that, all the demons could not come close anymore. They were vanquished. You don't understand the spirituality of the church. If you did, you behave properly. If you did, you will be privileged when you are told, this is your place. This is what you're doing. This is your. You will be so blessed. Some of you ask me, Pastor, don't you get tired? You work here, you're a doctor, you're this. And because you don't understand. I've seen something. I know things you don't know. But God gave me that dream for you. So you can sit properly. When Jacob woke up and understood the dream, he sat properly in the house of the Lord. He became Israel. You are the next Israel. No matter how Jacob you have turned, you are the next Israel because your attitude will be proper. I touched the thing. When I touched the thing, everything changed. My life changed. My ministry changed. My future changed. My career changed. Ladies and gentlemen, since that day, do I look like dead? I didn't die. I didn't go crazy. I didn't go to jail. All the evils that were happening to the males in my family, the buck ended with me. I was the new beacon of hope because I was properly situated in the house of the Lord with understanding and commitment, devotion. I was not playing church no more. No. It's too powerful to toy with. It's too great to call it a toy and to play with it. It's too strong an entity for you to sit down and to joke with it. So real. If it's real, it's real. I have not had a nightmare since that day, and I don't intend to have one by the grace of God. No fear. All fear is gone. Because he lives. Oh, he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Because he lives. All fear is gone. All fear is gone. And now I know. Oh, he holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. You can face tomorrow no matter what. Because he lives. Because Christ lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Oh, he lives. All fear is gone. Now I know, and now I know. He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. So, the man upstairs told me, the day you entered the church well was symbolized by the day you put your foot on the ladder. Church, you must climb, you must not stand. You must increase in your activities. You climb. A ladder is to be climbed. The higher you go, the closer you are to God, and the further you are from the demons of attack of this world, the evils of this world. Don't just stand around. Get involved. Get into it. Climb. Rise. Stop joking with God. Stop joking. You don't even pray. Grumbling about meeting. Coming late. Come on now. Come on now. This is too big, too strong to toy with. And the devil is happy when you joke. Because you give up your source of strength. I have a headache. I'm tired. I worked last night. Really? You could have died this morning. You worked last night. If you had another job, you would go immediately after. But church, no. Ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. Said, there's no other place than the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, All I came to tell you is that change, renew your mind concerning the church. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Bible says in Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to the world. Stop your earthly, carnal, unbeliever style Christianity. Don't be conformed. Don't behave like you are in the world. Don't be conformed to the world. But be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may become proof of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God was not for me to die, but to live and to declare the works of the Lord. And I intend to do that till he calls me home. Now that he has saved me, now that he has established me, now that I have understood, I got that dream for you, my brother, my sister. You may not have understood, but today you should understand. God willing, next Sunday, I'm going to teach you the best way to draw the full benefits and to ridicule the devil. How to? From that day that the Lord revealed that dream, he gave me a message for you. This is just a dream. The message will come next week. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Next week, you'll understand Bethel. What is Bethel? You understand how you have to kick away the lust attitude and enter into Bethel properly. Next week, the machinery for climbing will change with understanding. You will never perish. You'll be delivered. You'll be blessed. You'll be helped. Father, touch our hearts. Transform our hearts. Transform our minds. Bless your children. Help us to understand. Forgive us for the way we have treated your house, your church. Your word says you must reverence my sanctuary. Reverence. Must keep the Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. Respect it. But we have not respected it the way we should. We have kicked it about. We have trivialized it. We have made mediocre attitudes concerning your church. Forgive us. Forgive us. Have mercy on everyone here. And from today, move us up to full understanding of your power, of your grace, and the full extent of this dream. Everyone having a nightmare here is delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone being chased by demons, by a curse, God cancels it now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will live and be blessed. You shall not die, but you shall live to declare the works of the Lord. That diagnosis will be reversed. That curse will be broken by reason of the anointing. Because from today, you will understand your covering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Sing "Because he lives" one more time. Because he lives. Because, lift your hands and worship him. I can face tomorrow. Oh yes. Because he lives. Some of the attacks and troubles and frustrations, God is cutting them away. All fear is gone, and now I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living. If there's anybody here, you don't know Jesus as your personal savior, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to renew your relationship, you realize that, no, I've not lived right with you. I am transformed today. I want to make a new connection to this ladder, to Bethel, to the God's house. You are here like that. You feel convicted. You want to give your life to Jesus or to rededicate your life to Jesus. Lift up your right hand, wherever you are. You are here. You have a conviction. Now you want to rededicate or you want to give. You want to get a new strength. Lift up your hand. Don't be ashamed of anybody. It's your life. God bless you. God bless you. Even if you're born again already, but you want a rededication because you realize that you have not had the right attitude towards his house. Lift up your hand. Father, behold the hands that are lifted. Touch them. Make a difference in their lives. Transform them. From today, what you showed me and what you delivered me from, deliver your children from this same thing. And let them connect properly to your ladder. And give them the comfort of that hug and the deliverance from the demons that follow us. Jesus' name.
We believe the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.